Kerry, Henny and Quirk.
That's me.
On the It's All Music podcast.
That's us.
Down by Jorfin's Quarry. And Knockadoon by the sea.
Woo!
Sometimes we bring a guest down with us.
Yeah.
We drink tea and make some biscuits.
Woo!
Then we chat and we laugh and we play a few songs.
Why
not tune in and sing along? Kerry, Henny and Quirk.
That's us.
On the It's All Music podcast.
Yeah.
Knockadoon by the sea. Mikey, take it away, bye.
Oh, God. Well, that's that one. Take it out.
You may travel far from your own native home, for away o'er the mountains, away o'er the foam, and all the fine.
I got something in my throat. Sorry.
For fuck's sake.
I couldn't help it. Sorry. I can't draw breath because it keeps going down me.
There it is.
Fuck it anyway. Sorry.
That's on the vape. That's on the vape.
Fucking me. Joke, Thomas.
You may travel far, far from your own native home, far away o'er the mountains, way o'er the foam, and all the fine places that I've ever seen, there's none to compare with the cliffs of Doolin. It's a nice place to be on a fine summer's day, watching all the wildflowers that never decay, and the hares and lofty pheasants are plain to be seen, making homes for their young on the cliffs of Doolin. Take a view o'er the mountains, fine sights you'll see there. See the high rocky slopes on the west coast of Clare, and the towns of Kilrush and Kilkee can be seen from the high rocky slopes on the cliffs of Doolin. Fare thee well to Doolin, fare thee well for a while, and all the fine people I'm leaving behind. Streams and the meadows where late I have been, on the high rocky slopes and the cliffs of Doolin. Travel far, far from your own native home, far away o'er the mountains, away o'er the foam, and all the fine places that I've ever seen, there's none to compare with the cliffs of Doolin.
Hello and welcome to the new installment of It's All Music, the It's All Music podcast, coming to you from a secret location in Knockadoon, in East Cork. That was a rendition of a lovely song, Cliffs of Doolin, played by Christy Moore at his Live at the Point, featuring Declan Sinnott on guitar and that one. But not in this case. We had Mike Carey on guitar and vocals.
Oh, lovely.
We had podcast founder and producer David Quirk on the mahandolin, and myself, Owen Hennessy, on the bass. We're here with you for the next... We don't know how long it's going to be, because there'll be a heavy edit done. But welcome back.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, I agree with you, buddy.
Oh, you said nothing there, no, I couldn't agree with.
Boss, nothing to report, really.
Nothing.
Just thoughts, I suppose. We all have thoughts in our heads and think of things to say in the podcast and then we don't say them because we forget.
No. Well, actually, that's I'm correcting you there because I thought of stuff during the week. And for once...
The floor is yours.
But for once, I said, I must fucking put that in to the notes in my phone or whatever that app is called and bring it up with the lads. Okay. It'll be kind of caught for things, you know, it'll be drift sometimes. But
can happen, yeah.
I saw this thing. What do you think of
okay.
tribute bands? There's a Trib Fest on. It's a festival. It's on in...
It's not in Wexford, is it? Or Kildare?
No, yeah, you're dead right. Kildare. It's on in August in Maynooth, County Kildare. It's the 2nd to the 4th of August, 24. It's called Trib Fest, I suppose.
Can I mention a couple of bands that I reckon are playing at it?
I have a list here, but go on.
I'm
going
to play a game of bingo, which ones right, I get. Okay, I'm going ready. To name what Drum I would roll, consider please. Some of the top tribute bands in the country. First one is there a band called Queen with a W, Q-W-E-E-N, are they there?
Yeah.
All right, they're actually from the UK. They're savage. Super Troopers, are they there? And Abbott.
Now, what they've done is, right, so they have
the names of the actual bands
and underneath it in tiny writing is the is the name of their
Are they kind of trying to fucking imply that maybe the Queen yeah. and ABBA and AC/DC
£40 for the weekend.
Club Oven Manoos for £40.
Well, no, it's not, I don't know how much it is.
Okay, is there, what is the Fleetwood Mac?
But I'm just
Fleetwood.
Thinking like
no fucking clue.
Okay, let me see.
Live Lizzy or Tin As Lizzy. There's two.
Fleetwood Mac, yeah. Mac Fleetwood, yeah. Mac That's Fleetwood. Two out of... Hold on. Okay, there's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 acts.
Okay, I'm not
there's 19 go. Fucking tributes.
That's over the space of 3 days. This is a festival. This is a big...
Give us the name of the next
I'd
one.
I'd love to go to this.
Don't give us the name of the tribute act. Give us the name of the act.
Yeah, name the band and we'll work backwards. I'll hit you with the...
All right, okay.
I'll
go with the...
If not, we'll make
I'll
one
go
up.
With the lowest. So the, not yeah. the lowest, but you know what I mean?
Lesser known ones.
Yeah. Okay, so Danny Roman.
Is that the original act or the name of the tribute guy?
Tribute guy.
Oh, no, you meant to give
oh,
me the...
Oh, no, you went the wrong way around.
I said,
fuck me.
Yeah, you're meant to name, like, the band that it's they're tributing. And then I'm meant to hit you with the name of the
right,
act.
Tom Jones.
I don't know who does a Tom Jones tribute. I know anyone who does that.
Tom Jones.
That's just
Arthur Man, is it?
Yeah. Okay, Rod Stewart.
No, I don't know who that is. No.
Fran Farrell.
Okay. No, Fran.
Eagles.
Oh, there's a number of them. There's the Legal Eagles, right?
And I love these names. Brilliant.
Oh, what's the Cork one? They're O'Riordan's crowd. They're a Cork-based Eagles tribute act, and they're called...
It's like what he says when we kind of agree on something. He goes, absolutely.
Oh.
Absolute Eagles.
Yeah.
I've never heard
have
of
you
them,
not?
No.
All right, okay.
I've heard of the Legal Eagles, and there's another one as well I can't think of right now.
Cher.
Would oh, no.
Essentially share.
Oh, cool.
Queen you got.
The Queen, they're from the UK. They're costly, boys. Nearly get Queen back in the day for less.
ABBA.
Yeah, the Super Troopers,
is this it? Is jumping out of me. An ABBA tribute act. That's a There's fucking hard one to put together, isn't it?
Yeah, to get it right, like.
Oh, I should be giving you the tribute name, and you should be... Oh,
okay, switch it up. So.
Yeah, all right, so I'm going to go, all right, so... Okay, ABBA, so can you... Think of an ABBA tribute
band. Irish ABBA or something.
Oh, nope. Fucking,
I don't think Super Troopers. I don't think these are necessarily Irish bands.
Oh, no, really? They're not. Queen are from the UK. Queen with a W are from the UK. I don't know. Who is it? Is it the Absolute ABBA by any chance?
No. The Bourne Identity, as in...
Bjorn.
Mm. Bjorn.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to flip it now.
That's very
Thunder Rolls.
That's a Bruce Springsteen tribute from Wexford.
Thunder Rolls.
Oh no, sorry, Gar Brooks. I was thinking a different thing.
Yeah.
Thunder Road. What I was thinking.
Showdown. This will be hard.
Showdown.
Okay, he was a member of. I don't want to make it too easy. He was a member of the Traveling Wilburys.
Showdown.
Oh, did we play him last week? No.
The Traveling Wilburys was Tom Petty, Roy Orbison. Is it Roy Orbison? Roy Orbison tribute.
Either of those, then.
He had a huge band, his own band.
Jeff Lynne, Steve Winwood. Jeff Lynne, is it?
It's Jeff Lynne.
Jeff Lynne tribute.
The Electric Light Orchestra. ELO.
ELO Electric, yeah. Oh, cool.
Wow. Okay, Jamie Steers.
Is he like a...
Red hair.
He's a Red Sheeran. Red Sheeran.
Red Sheeran.
It's got to be good, actually. It's Red Sheeran.
Be good.
Red Sheeran would be good. That'd should be have called himself.
Yeah. 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 Down there.
It's
just in case you ever go to the market.
Okay, this one you should get. Cash Returns.
Oh, that's Johnny Cash. Yeah.
Mac Fleetwood.
We know them. They're a big tribute act.
Willpower.
Yeah. Willpower.
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 The power to get things done. Fuck. Willpower.
Willpower.
Who the fuck is that?
Is it a Will Smith tribute band?
No. Well,
there's, I bet it's there's, not no, there's no such thing.
An Irish act.
It's obvious. It's not obvious.
It's not obvious. It's a tribute to the an name Irish. Willpower means nothing to the. Oh,
it's a tribute to
but it's a, he's an Irish singer.
Saw Doctors.
RIP, like, but good in his day, like.
Does he warrant a tribute? Oh, show band. Oh, a tribute to. It's not Joe Dolan. We already had. It is Joe Dolan.
It is Joe Dolan. Oh. Willpower.
A few of them are all there.
Oh, the classic Dolan. Beatles.
Yeah, Beatles tribute band. Yeah.
Mairead Rooney. Tough
is she
one.
Tina Turner job?
No.
Is she?
Celine Dion.
She'd be pally with Taylor Swift.
This one.
Although she's older.
Pally with her, like. She,
well, they'd be.
They bring the kids up to Mahon Point of the weekend.
Well, why'd you make that face?
I know you can't translate that face through the well, podcast.
They're pally there.
I don't know who. I don't know anyone who's pally. Taylor Swift, nor do I know.
Well, Flake the Gander. It was a song at a wedding, the first dance. And
Shania Twain has to be. I'll never forget that wedding in my days.
Twain.
Yeah, and we never said it on the podcast. We never told that story.
Do you want to?
No, we won't. No.
You might as well. This is
we'll say that out of
this. This is a good one. Yeah. Slippery When Wet.
That's the Bon Jovi, yeah. We did play it in the Sea Church. Yeah.
There's another name for a tribute act. It's
called I would have gone with Jam Bon Jovi. But go on,
Wrong Jovi.
Oh, Wrong Jovi.
Wrong Jovi, yeah.
What a fucking name. Guns Reloaded.
I know it. Mark and Dave Murphy. Fucking Guns N' Roses tribute. I tell you, they're fucking good boys.
Did it to be good, like.
Yeah.
Played down in Jamie's.
This is why I'd love to go to this fucking thing. Whiplash.
Metallica tribute. They're good. They're fucking good now to buy.
Live Lizzy.
Yeah, Till Lizzy one, yeah.
And then IEDC.
So my bass that we spent a whole podcast talking about, I bought that from the fellow bass and Live Lizzy.
Cool.
And then, obviously, the AC/DC. AC/DC, the Irish AC/DC, yeah. But you see, the thing is with tribute bands is you get super fans of the band you're tributing going and really scrutinising what you're doing. Like, it's like the Pink Floyd when we spoke to Joe Collins about Pink Floyd. Like, you go into a room with 100 people who all bought tickets to see a Pink Floyd tribute, 190 of them are going to be big Pink Floyd fans scrutinising what you do to go.
They wouldn't just go in and enjoy themselves, no?
Well, they would enjoy themselves if you do it perfectly, but if you're doing your own style of it.
What are they doing with their lives?
I don't think that's.
Why do they think they're so class?
It's doing a logical attack.
Maybe
on them.
They're fucking dopes.
Yeah. Okay, so that's just for all you listening. If you do go to these shows scrutinising people, then you're a fool, Mike says.
That sounds. Oh, fuck.
It's off. Just weird. Like, I
remember Joe
got,
was on about that.
Yeah.
Joe Collins, he's in the
Cockfloyd. He's in Floyd. The Cockfloyd, yeah.
That awful carry on to be.
I know that what happens is the guys in the bands are super fans. Like, I've met Mark and Dave Murphy there from Guns Reloaded. They love Guns N' Roses. Like, they love them. Like, they take it very seriously. Like, the guitars and the gear and the way they're mad. Like, I think it was showing me like there was a fag burn in the same place as the, you know.
Is that good for you, I wonder?
I don't.
First of all,
wouldn't be bad for you.
Yeah. People are into crazy things. Like, that's fairly vanilla compared to what some people are into. Like,
is this,
you know?
Yeah. Is this right?
But wouldn't, like, as a musician, would I not like it? I think I'd like it. You know, if you really like a band and you just focus on their music and you just kind of go, right, that's it. There's nothing else we need to focus on. It's this.
Yeah.
It's how they look. It's how they play. You know what I mean? And let's focus on it and let's work hard at it. And it'll, like the Eagles.
Well, the Cork Eagles, I have to mention, Daryl Reardon and them. No, I'm fucking embarrassed that I can't remember the name. Absolute Eagles, I think.
Yeah, that's what they're.
Oh, no, that was a different one. So, do you mind if I check? I turn
Work
it
away.
No, no, no. Anyway, Daryl Reardon's is the Eagles
an
experience.
Irish group,
it's a Cork based Eagles tribute made up of guys who were all in other bands but love the Eagles, and every year they do maybe 3 or 4 gigs, but they'll be like in the Everyman, they'll be in, you know, bigger venues, like, you know, they'll be in the Crown in Wexford, they'll be ticketed events. And
yeah, but people don't scrutinise them as much.
No,
as
they have a ball, like, they do.
That's just, that their music is kind of fun.
But
like,
all the Gallagher ones, there's loads of Gallagher tributes, like Rory Gallagher tributes, and they get pretty...
Yeah. The absolute Eagles are the Irish.
Are they? Also, they're playing out of jazz. That's their
order. They're devout Eagle fans and worked to reproduce every nuance.
They are.
But I presume they're the Irish. There's loads, like, absolute take Eagles. It to the limit. There's, yeah, loads. There's loads. The long run. Eaglemania.
The legal Eagles.
The Eagles experience. The legal Eagles, yeah.
That's the, anyway, the absolute Eagles. I get it, like, they're all in other bands and they like the Eagles, so they come together to do this. It's probably a fucking healthy pastime, like, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I just wonder, like, if you wanted to have it so perfect and so spot on, like, do you?
Just a super fan, like, you're just, like, in that fandom of, we gonna tribute this, we're gonna tribute it right, like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you, if you take a band, if you get a Nirvana tribute and you go to see them because you love Nirvana, and the guy's on stage and he's got a shirt and tie on, buzz cut and a pair of glasses, you'd go, this is fucking stupid tribute, he didn't look anything like fucking Kirby.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you're playing him right, I don't feel like this is a tribute to the band, like, you know.
I did go and see with my dad, I went to see Johnny Cash in The Everyman. I don't know what act it was, I'm ashamed to say I can't remember, it was a while ago now. But he went down through all the years and would go off after maybe 3 or 4 songs and come back in wearing
as
different
older
clothes.
Johnny Cash.
And older Johnny. And I went to see, and on the back of that then, when the Beatles did a show there, I went to see them and they did the same.
Yeah.
And it was like a screen behind them playing the different, you know.
Shots and stuff.
Shots, real kind of, when they went on the Ed Sullivan show and that kind of thing. And it was there in front of you, they're getting ready, you're watching the screen. And then the screen disappears, and they're doing it. It's live. Yeah. You see it live, and like your man had this is no good in the podcast, but he had Paul McCartney's head movements.
Yeah,
playing like, and you see, these lads really studied it. And I was kind of thinking, if I was to do a tribute act or be in a band playing bass or guitar or whatever, I was trying to think what act would you really?
What conclusion did you come to?
I didn't. So I'm throwing that question out to you now. Is there one that you'd?
I don't think I could play an hour and a half of one band's music. I just think my heart wouldn't be in it.
I'd kind of be in the same school of thought as that.
I think it takes a specific person, like someone very diligent, obviously.
And you have to be a fan.
You have to be
a real super fan of that band, you know?
Yeah.
And know everything about the band.
And then, like, to be able to play that as well, like,
you'd have to know all the nuances, you'd have to get, even the mistakes, like. You'd have to put in all nuances, like good or bad, or even ones you don't like. And you'd be thinking, if I was to do that, now I'd have played it this way. Well, you can't. You're doing it.
And then to get a vocal on point, like it's one thing to be a super fan, but to sing, like, be able to sing like your favourite singer, how the fuck would you do that? Like, I love Pearl Jam, but I can't sing like Eddie Vedder. Like, you know.
Please, I don't know. Please do an impression. Please. Please do an impression of Eddie Vedder and try to sing like him. But while ordering food at a deli.
Ah, fuck off, making a goal of me.
Did you ever see Adam Sandler's?
Oh, that's good, yeah. It's good, the car drink.
There's no words like.
Like, I don't even know how to do it. How does he sing?
I don't know.
I can't do it.
I keep thinking of fucking James Hetfield.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah! That's all I can do.
Yeah. Like, tribute bands, there's some great ones out there. I have to mention Live Lizzie there, Paul McGuire's band. Like, they're an experience to watch. Like, and if you love Lizzie, you go out of them, you get a great kick out of it. Like, but you find that people who go are big fans. I find that people either tribute huge acts that are so big that even a tribute will sell out on the name alone. If you notice, like, you get the Abbas and the Queens and the Elvises, there's always tribute acts to them. Or else it's really niche bands that people are super fans of, you know.
Yeah, but the Abbas and those ones you mentioned, they get work, like.
They get a pile of work, but people will also go to niche acts because they tend to be super fans.
They do, like, yeah, right.
System of a Down fans tend to be super fans, you know?
Mm.
Even though not as popular as the other ones I mentioned, they're the type, if there was a System of a Down tribute act, go to God, it would probably sell out. Like, the Ed Sheeran is an obvious one because it's, like, Taylor Swift, Bruce Springsteen, all of these cover a huge fucking amount of people that are fans. But then the kind of, like, the not as popular acts, when they're a little bit nichey, like Tom Waits tribute will sell out, like, if it's a good one, you know?
But you'd have to be,
but they all have to be good. Surely if there's a bluffer of a tribute act, it's nothing like the act. They're going to do one gig and the world's going to get it.
Yeah.
Actually, I'd be inclined to go to a shit one.
For a
I'd
laugh.
Probably enjoy it more. Like,
I think it'd be more crack.
Yeah. But where are you going tonight? Shit Elvis. Shit Elvis is up in the Old Oak and I'm fucking going. No, but then again, he'd never be in the Old Oak. He'd be in an old local pub.
Shit Elvis. There's a Christy Moore tribute act, isn't there? Going doing the pubs.
Messaged
his name?
He messaged the page.
Did he
messaged the,
I saw him
our
Finn's
Instagram
once or twice, I think.
Did he?
Yeah.
Quite good, actually. He has a guy with him as well. Does the
There's a guy called Christy Waters, and
Christy Waters is his name.
And he's from Waterford. And then there's another fella from up the country who messaged the page. He had Ordinary Man, the Christy Moore tribute.
Wow.
And, yeah, great.
Would it be polite to wait till these people are dead to do the tribute act, or is it fine just to...
I've heard from, actually, just not directly, but when they're alive, right, and I was talking to a guy, I won't mention him, but he was running me through, he's a super fan of Bon Jovi, really big, he's a real big, more so Richie Sambora, the guitar player, like, his guitars are out there, and I had a conversation with him recently, I don't know the guy personally, but, and he says to me, he went about doing a Bon Jovi tribute, like, you know, because he wanted to, and do you know what happened? Bon Jovi announced two nights in Ireland. And when that happens, it's the worst possible thing to happen, a tribute, because they'll all buy tickets for Bon Jovi and won't buy tickets for the tribute, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but just that weekend.
I don't know, like, you'll be inclined, will we go to him? Will we go to that tribute? Not sure. We're going to the real thing. Yeah, Why would we do that, like, you know?
Well,
it never dawned on me. When he made the point, I was like, oh yeah, I never fucking thought of that, like. I thought, like, it had, well, like you, it would have the opposite effect that, like, yeah, when Garth Brooks was coming, there was these Garth Brooks tributes popping up everywhere. I don't know, were they always tributes? They just knew a couple of songs and now they put on a hat and they're calling themselves a tribute.
And you can buy those shirts.
With
the squares on them.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I get it, but I wouldn't be into it. I will say one thing, and I have to go, I keep going back to them. Guns Reloaded, Mark and Dave Murphy. Fuck, lads. Yeah, they walked in, we were playing.
Exceptional, yeah.
We were playing, I was doing a gig with Dot, and we knew there was a Guns N' Roses band coming in, and the door opened, and the two boys came in, right? Duff and fucking Slash walked in, right? And I mean, like, there was no fucking prizes for guessing who the two boys were when they walked in. And we finished our
gear
set.
On, like?
That's the thing, they came up, and I goes, Jesus, boys, when you walked in, I knew straight away, I was going, like, well, we don't even have the fucking clothes on yet. they weren't even dressed and ready. I just knew, you know. They're kind of the style and the walk and the carry on. And in fairness to them, when they did get kitted out, didn't like, down to the fucking instruments and the leads and the amps that they were using, everything to the coat, to the clothes, to the jewellery, to everything. And like, if you're going to do that, if you're going to pay attention to that small a detail, you got to fucking bring the sauce. And they fucking brilliant, like, tonally and musically and everything. The performance was fucking top notch.
But
like,
do you have to carry that character around with you, I suppose, like that, you know, coming into the pub, to be really good?
I don't know. I've no reference point for this, to be honest. I don't know how you do that.
Because you have, like, to be a super fan.
You can't walk into the pub and kind of in flip-flops and shorts and a fucking old sleeveless and say, I'm going up now as Slash.
Are you wasting your time in a pub, really? Shouldn't you have a
bigger
venue?
Well, this was a party
venue,
event. Like, this was a fundraiser.
Well,
like,
this fucking thing. I'd love
to go. They do big
Where
venues.
Is it, Dave?
It's on in Maynooth. It's on in the August Bank Holiday weekend. Tribfest. It's the 2nd to the 4th of August. It's North Kildare Sports Club, Maynooth.
Big venue now. They don't do pubs, like. They do...
But it's a festival. There. It's 3 days. It's the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and... Yeah, the main act on the Friday, I presume, are AC/DC.
IEDC.
The Friday is like
ADHD would be a good one.
The Friday is
fuck up on the lyrics, sorry.
Bon Jovi.
Don't arrive at all. It's a real tribute. This week we've, we could do a Shane McGowan tribute.
Who'd do that?
We should just fucking cancel last minute or something. You don't have to play it on.
Pished.
That'll be 14 grand.
The care package.
Like, the reason these guys carry it around with them and stuff, I suppose is they've always been super fans and they've started the tribute because they're super fans, right? So they've been influenced anyway by these acts their whole life anyway. You know what I mean? Like, they're probably carrying around an awful lot of inspiration in every element of their life from this band that they I don't want to say idolise, but you know, they're fanning over them their whole lives.
But like, the music is obviously a big thing, but it's more like what I noticed with the Beatles and with the Johnny Cash one was that it was a show as well.
Well, that's good.
There was talking in between, there was storytelling. And
but a busy tribute act, can they still listen to their favourite band, like if you're gigging it kind of, you know, a lot?
I wonder that as well, yeah.
Can you actually go back and listen to it and go, oh, fuck, I can't listen to that anymore?
Yeah, so, yeah.
I kind of wonder, does it spoil it a little bit or take the kind of magic out of it? You've kind of just dissected the fucking thing so much now.
This is where we need this is where we need lads to message in.
This is where we need someone.
I'd love to get a bit of insight in this, like.
Yeah.
Well, I have Bono, like.
Yeah.
We've had Bono. Oh, yeah. Brian O'Glanby. Called Bono.
Yeah.
Who nickname is Bono, like.
Yeah.
And it's in Rebecca O'Connor from Cove.
She's a big deal.
She's Tina Turner.
Yeah.
And she was
that's like opera house and stuff, like.
But she was endorsed by Tina, like. Tina, before she died, kind of. Was that true?
Yeah, they get a kind of nod from the act, like, and permission and stuff, like, you know. Using the name and the branding, right?
And then what can you do? You can use Tina Turner.
This lady, this one has her walk, her stuff, but she talks to the crowd in between. It's a Cork accent. It's
class, even better.
It's even,
yeah.
It's just remarkable. But her voice.
That level of talent, though, wouldn't you think she could carve out her own path?
That's another good point. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? If that's what they want to do.
100, yeah, I agree. Like,
I often say, like, just, you know.
Curious, yeah.
I meet fellas there who love dipping in wedding bands and they don't join a band because they love you. You're like that. I'd rather fucking sew buttons into my socks now than do that. Like, I like being in a band, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, don't get me wrong.
It takes me 2 years to learn the songs anyway. 3 years of gigging to get them right.
Yeah.
Come on now. Pardon yourself.
Tribute bands, yeah, it's a funny one. Like, I want to mention a few. Obviously, Nails, there's one. Paradox, who do two. They're doing two at Nirvana
Nights
this April. If you're a Nirvana fan, get to them. Because, by all accounts, what happens at them is you go and you could have the attitude of, tribute acts, really? Just fuck two songs in, you're fucking going bananas and you're loving it. Like,
of course,
And there's a band that I saw recently called Elvana. I saw them advertised. Elvis fronted Nirvana covers.
I've heard of them, yeah.
So it's a Nirvana tribute, but the singer is an Elvis tribute and he's singing in the style of Elvis.
Why not?
Get your head around that one now.
Why fucking not?
And they're doing extremely well playing at Glastonbury and shit like that.
Daylight come and me one go home. No, fuck that shit. I'm trying to do fucking Kurt Cobain and fucking Elvis Presley so Freddie Mercury can stay the fuck out there. Hell, since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street. Some room for broken out of lovers to come. I feel so lonely, baby. I feel so lonely. I feel so lonely. I could die. Sunday morning is every day.
but I'm not scared. Mind my kennels in a daze, cause I'm fair.
The bootleg Beatles got huge, like, they got huge playing big festivals and stuff, like, you know.
As I saw them in Borough years ago in the town park.
A proper touring,
the summer.
Yeah. Touring band touring around the world. Like.
Yeah.
There's Love Buzzed as well, that Nirvana tribute. You'd be hard pushed to fucking tell the difference in Kurt Cobain, this lad.
Really?
Ridiculous. Like, he's even got that fucking woolly black and red jumper, you know.
Class.
It's uncanny. The tone, like, it's fucking, it's identical.
It's a Rory Gallagher tribute. Used to come to Middleton once a year and have a big Rory Gallagher fest out in the Two Mile Inn. It would just be tribute after tribute after. Did you have to pick which songs you do know? You know, because
is there a Rory tribute act
in Holland?
But is there a Rory tribute act that has somebody that looks like Rory?
There's a guy called Dave McHugh, and I suppose years ago he look.
I know the guys. They can fucking. They sound, close your eyes, like, but.
I don't know, no.
To get like that now with you, with Kurt Cobain, to see a fella wearing the same jumper and...
Yeah, it's...
You know, the blonde hair and whatever. But, like, a fella looking like Rory, I'd lose me knickers.
Jesus Christ.
I'm
a serious fan, like.
I'd love to do bass, Johnny McAvoy, play with a pick, play a P-bass, and do Rory stuff. That would interest me, though. Like.
Is there a creepy element to it?
Let's stop footing. Is this a bit obsessive?
Not obviously they're great musicians and so forth.
Is there a bit of
I wouldn't, like, if I was that relentless with one particular topic, like at home, I'd be a fucking nightmare, I'd say. I don't know what it'd be hard to live with
if you're that type of character and you've got those type of compulsions and you can get that way. A little bit obsessive. Wouldn't it be better to channel it into music and a musical act than, you know, something
kidnapping?
Like some fellas.
Stalkerooning.
A bit of stalking.
No, but we're not saying that if you're in a tribute act, you're probably a stalker.
Or implying. There's a big difference.
A bit of a creep.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people want to go backstage to meet them. Like, we'll slip away and we'll be the track. I don't know, that's probably mean.
Yeah. No, I suppose you fellas that are obsessed with Man United or Liverpool.
Yeah, but they don't go around playing mock games in the back garden.
Why not? Everyone knows a guy you're doing five a side of a Sunday or a Saturday evening, and they're arriving the full kit.
But they don't dress up as the players.
That's
like
dressing up as the players. Like,
but you call it at her house. You call it at her house then, and it's Man United from the front door. Yep, and there's pictures of Roy Keane on the wall, and there are people like that. I know that for a fact.
Obsessively.
And have all the old jerseys in frames in a room in the house. There are fellas like that.
I know.
But you're like, just not that way.
That's fine. But I just wonder if it's a bit tiring for them.
Well, the guys in Tribute X are probably borderline that obsessive, like, that they've kind of gone, we just have to make a living out of this now as well as everything else.
If you think that'd be difficult, imagine being the guy who plays bass who's just looking for a gig. It's not really that fucking bothered. And he just goes in and plays, and he comes off the stage then and a fucking Beatles tribute, and well done, Paul. Well, I'm not talking like that. I'm going way out to cars parked out to back. I'll see you later.
Yeah, you're right. He just fucking take it or leave it. Yeah.
The Oasis fellas, like,
there's
Oasis ones, like, can you imagine anything fucking worse?
An Oasis tribute act.
Yeah. Well, like, the guys who do it, what power to you? I'm talking about from me, from what I wouldn't like to do that now.
But you liked Oasis in the day.
Do like Oasis. I appreciate what they do. I wouldn't consider myself a super fan, but it's a tough question that Dave said there a while ago. If you were to do it, who would you do it? Oasis definitely wouldn't be one for me. I wouldn't get a buzz out of that. A Nirvana one. A fucking Slipknot one. I'd do that.
Jeez, good luck with that. That's fucking no joke if you could do that.
To get people to go to the theatre.
To get the amount of people to fucking be in the band for a start.
Keep them together.
Fucking 12 of them there. There's one fella hitting a keg. I'll do that.
That's very funny.
Of course, the masks are handy, aren't they? You could just order them online.
Well, you could bring different depths in. You could change them all the time because no one would see who it actually is.
No fucking clue. You could get boiler suits. That's a handy one.
That's a handy number. Of course, Rage Against the Machine, I'd do that.
Yeah.
Call it Bullock in the Shade.
Very good. Good.
I'm going to give you a band. I'm going to give you a band, and you have to think.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to think of a tribute name for that band, right? Okay. So you're a Pearl Jam tribute band based in East Cork. What are you going to call Pearl Jam? Pearl Ham.
Pearl Lam.
I was trying to think of a song. You see.
Oh yeah.
So that's what you're meant to do, or you can do.
Sorry.
I can't think of anything. My mind is dry. Can't think of anything for that either.
Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam tribute act would be.
There's surely a Pearl Jam tribute act.
Boys Alive. Be bad. Alive, was that a song?
Alive, yeah.
Or
Even Flow.
Was a fella in fucking North Cork.
Very funny.
He's after taking that over.
Yeah. Ah, yeah.
Don't know. Funny old one.
Well, I'll give one to you, Cork. What would you call your Tin Lizzy tribute band?
Tin Lizzy?
Yeah.
Boys Are Back in Town. Well, that's too long, is it?
That's a fucking good one, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one, yeah.
If I was going to my head and I had to play in a tribute band playing bass, I'd just go AC/DC.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck it, yeah. All day long.
Because you just pound away on the root notes, right?
Yeah.
And with a pick, and then every now and again walk forward.
And walk back
and
again.
And then walk back again. Yeah. And you have to know when to walk forward and when to walk back.
Yeah.
And you just leave Angus and the front man, tough one for the front man, because he'd have to do Bon Scott stuff and Brian Johnson stuff.
Yeah.
But you just leave them, then you just kind of rock away.
And you come in, you know, there's no bass and a lot of parts.
A lot of parts.
You have to come in, you know, at the right time.
All the verses of Highway to Hell, like no bass.
The Cure would be a good old tribute, actually.
Would ya?
We class.
You'd have all the Cure heads, didn't it?
Yeah. Because you get to put on all the makeup.
Look like you're
a wet crow.
Disgruntled.
Yeah.
You could encourage people to dress up in the old
wet crow.
Yeah. Cure head, yeah.
Wet That'd crow. Be the name of the band.
Wet crow.
Well, that's tribute bands,
sure, crow.
That's a good topic, no, Dave. Well done. Lads, Oscars. Oscars.
What? That's acting.
Yeah, but wait, there's a link. I'm just linking it up.
I gotta get a drink of water. Interesting.
Cillian Murphy played in a band in Cork called Sons of Mr. Green Jeans and toured. Didn't tour, it gigged locally in Cork and the likes of Conley's Lip and the Meeting Place in Middleton and places like that. And then he went on and he won an Oscar.
Doing what now?
Playing guitar and singing. But he won Best Male Actor in the Oscars the other night.
I know, yeah, I know that.
But he was gigging. He was a gigger.
Did you ever book him? Did you ever get him?
No, this was back in the 90s, like.
I knew he was a musician.
Yeah, he had a band called Sons of Mr. Green Jeans. So if you...
Sons of Mr. Green Jeans.
If anyone out there has any gig posters or information, I have a tape of their album at home. My father had it in the car from years ago. And he kept the tape at home.
Were they big, kind of?
They weren't. They were offered a deal, but they didn't get it.
All right. So he was main singer, main vocalist?
No, there was a main vocalist and he was backing vocals and guitar.
What kind of stuff?
Jazzy inspired rock music. Jazz inspired rock. Kind of acid jazz rocky stuff, from what I'm told. Conor O'Brien, former guest of the podcast, did sound for them. So Cillian was the guitar player. I've looked into it, and there's a lot of stuff, quotes from him talking about playing in Connolly's Lip and doing gigs that, you know, there wasn't a whole pile of people at, and, you know, doing the original stuff because it was what he loved, and, you know, supporting live music in Ireland, how it's so important. And lads, he's fucking top of his fucking game, like, you know, he's winning Oscars over there. It's I know there's a lot going on at the moment with people jumping on a bandwagon, and you'd swear to God that the whole of Cork was after winning an Oscar, like, you know, like every he just served them chips or took him in a taxi, yeah. Is contributing towards their team.
Yeah.
That's not the case. I'm actually kind of proud that we have that he achieved that, because there's no higher achievement in that field, like, you know.
No, that's it, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Mm. But sure, he's broken seriously records. There's no, he's the first Irishman, isn't he?
He's the first Irish.
He's young yet, lads. He's not fucking finished.
He's 50, yeah.
Now, talking about tribute acts, to link the two together, who would you have Cillian Murphy, even in a film?
How do you mean, who would play Cillian Murphy, or who would he play?
No, who would Cillian Murphy play? Like, now, big band from in the 80s, 90s.
Johnny Rotten.
No,
Sex Pistols.
He is.
He no, was, as in he can't. This, or
this guy used to dress up. He used to wear kind of bizarre costumes on stage.
Bowie.
Not too unlike Bowie.
Bizarre costumes. And is Cillian Murphy to play this fellow?
Yeah, I think he's the fucking spit of him when he, in his younger days. Not now. He's still alive. Your cousin Carl O'Sullivan played an acoustic version.
Oh, Pete Byrne.
David Byrne.
David Byrne from Talking Heads. Talking Heads, yeah.
Look up David Byrne from back in the 80s. And his jawline and his old, the way he walks, his hair, he slicks back the hair, the clothes he wears. You'd swear it's Cillian Murphy. They'd be brothers in a different lifetime. Like, they're just spit of each other. I think, anyway.
Jesus Christ.
It's just when I see someone who, you know, kind of had, maybe comes from a similar place and knows what it's like in culturally to be from the same place where I'm from, and they achieve something that fucking enormous, like, I'd just be happy for them. Oh yeah, Jesus, he does, doesn't he?
Dave's just showing us a picture here.
Picture of Dave Byrne.
It's uncanny.
He's so like him. He's the old gimp of him. Do you know?
Yeah.
Stand of him, jawline, hair.
Yeah, it was nice to see him up on stage, just with the Cooper Fuckle too. I don't know, it's a nice, good feeling. Like,
proud of him. Like, begrudging. Yeah. A lot of countries, like, people can be begrudging towards fellas achieving something or something like that. Award shows, I don't like them anyway, and the whole regalia involved in them. But it's just nice to see one of our own doing exceptionally well in their field, like, you know.
I think he's a nice personality too, though, isn't he? He's kind of likeable. Unassuming, and
yeah,
he sounded to. I'd say a couple of days later, he was just probably doing a school run.
Yeah,
just like I'd say, just.
And the fact that we can go back over his back catalogue, which is something of the digital age, like, and we can go to that, we can go right to the Cork made independent films, up to the Windowshaker. But he was in one called, what was it, Disco? What was that, years ago? I can't look it up now, but his first film, it was real Cork, real indie Cork film, like, you know, Disco Pigs or something like that. Or,
yeah, something like that. And he was in Intermission, wasn't he?
He got to Win the Shakes to Barley, which kind of blew him up here. And then you can follow his actual graft, which was 25 years of films getting a little bit better and a little bit better. And then the Peaky Blinders and then Hollywood. And you don't realise that just seems because we're doing our own thing. We're grafting away. We're living our own lives. That is 25 years of fucking graft. Whatever you're doing, like, you know. Now, there's no awards for plumbers or nurses or carpenters or things like that. Fellas who live a normal life. It'd be nice if there was, if we look at the, you know, normal working fella doesn't get the acknowledgement like that. It's just because it's a big industry and it's such a small industry. It's just. And the money involved in it.
The money is a big thing.
The money is the big thing. But,
and the nature of it is exposure, though, and people are curious. And
yeah.
People aren't curious about what I did today, like.
No.
No.
Well, I am, like. Yeah.
I rotted a sewer.
Did you?
Did you?
You should see what came out of it.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Academy, the award for sewer rotting. And the nominees are.
just see my steps.
Nick Dwyer, Middleton. Dennis O'Brien,
Bernard.
Brendan Egan Middleton and Mike Carey. And the winner is Mike Carey, the first Irish born winner. The first Knockatoon born winner. It doesn't exist, but yeah, I'm not fanboying over him. I like that he did well, and he's from
That's
here.
It, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice and simple. He started Corkadurka.
He started
Corkadurka acting. Troop in Cork. He started with him.
Did he?
I did it a few weeks with him years ago during the Celtic Tiger. I said I better give it a go, you know, just in case I liked acting. It's so hard to learn how to act. You just might think you might be good at it, like, but the embarrassing things they make you do is crazy. So I was in Kirkadurka and we were going doing a Shakespeare play in, I think it might have been in the Peace Park or somewhere, just kind of an outdoor play, and the shit you had to do, like,
go away.
To learn to act. It's all about, like, inhibitions and just getting rid of all your inhibitions and just...
But getting into character.
Bearing your soul, like, and just... I did 2 weeks and I had to go. Couldn't fucking hack it, like.
Yeah.
I was too rural and too country and too Catholic and too fucking repressed. I couldn't do what everyone else was doing, like. They were just saying, right, Dave, you got to do something. You got 30 seconds in the middle of the floor. We all stand around you. Do something. People pretended they were being attacked.
Improv acting.
People pretended they were melting. People pretend they were, you know, having hallucinating.
But isn't that good? That's
I fucking talk about it then after.
What did you do? Can you remember?
I can't remember what I did. Sinking, I think.
You were sinking and you had to let on you were sinking.
I was maybe grabbing at their feet.
Yeah.
It's insane. But it's all, I know what it's for, because you can't be self-conscious, I suppose, when you're trying to get into a character. I wasn't cut out for it anyway. Like, but
come here.
Well, that's what Daniel Day-Lewis does, doesn't he? He gets into a character.
But he's a method actor, yeah.
Well, he's at home, like...
acting as this guy.
And he's going around as fucking Abraham Lincoln. Yeah. Do you know?
Yeah. Where I might have been a bit dubious about award ceremonies before, I think I can probably teach most people how to plumb. I think there's a very select few that can go up on a stage and wow an audience with a performance.
You've shown me a thing or two.
I certainly did, David.
Well done, Michael. Fucking, I'm proud of you too, man.
And thanks, the award man. Goes to
the award goes cheers, to man. Michael Carey.
That would be my speech.
There you go. I should have brought one down. The Plummies. This week at the Plummies.
There is a plumbing apprenticeship competition that you can enter. Bills.
And there's actually awards for nurses as well.
There is awards like
for continuing development.
Do you know what you were saying there about that acting troupe? I know you said that it was bizarre. He came up through that, did he?
Oh, he did, yeah.
They must be doing something fucking right.
Oh, absolutely. You know the way they were doing... They're fucking fantastic, obviously.
Drama and speech and drama in schools was dated to fuck for years. Like, I remember being sent to, like, the hall once a week where people were going up and doing these kind of Fish Matthew-esque performances. Me and my father were travelling, you know, like, and it's like, that. What's that? It's acting. No, it isn't, like, you know, that might have been acting... on a stage 100 years ago when there was no cameras and microphones and things like that, but it didn't seem to progress. And then seeing that thing are doing, taking kids and doing improv acting, you know, for outdoor shows in the Bishop Lucy Park, like, no wonder fucking he did really fucking well, like, you know. That's fairly progressive for, I'd imagine, which was the 90s, was it?
When you started,
as an adult?
03, probably 04, something
Like that. Even then, like, it's 20, over 20 years ago. Like, that was fairly modern, like, I'd say, for Ireland, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a strange fucking discipline.
They're bonkers, all of them.
They're bonkers.
You never know when they're acting.
They were fucking mad.
Yeah.
And I remember I was waiting the old starlet to go in, and I'd have been ringing my friends, like, what the fuck? What am I doing in here, like?
But you
my friends have been talking about, like, drawing straw.
Would you go back? Would you like to act, you know, as in, would you like to be in a local pantomine?
I'd hate to do any of it.
Would you?
No, I'd hate it. I'd not just watch
as an
it.
Older man.
Nah.
You're a father now. And
it wouldn't dawn on me to do it, no.
So you were just exploring it?
I had curiosity. I said, geez, maybe I might go in there and I just might fucking love it.
But you could imagine now if the three of us were involved in the pantomime.
I'll tell you one thing.
Something that we... related to, like, something we enjoyed. I don't know. But, like, if there's music involved and there was a bit of singing involved on stage and dressing up and fucking being a part of it, would you be interested?
No.
Because
it's fucking really, 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 really hard. I was talking to Wayne McSweeney the other day. He signed up to play a part in just a local production of an Adams Family musical that was down in Canada.
That was massive.
And he got into it and the rehearsals and stuff. And next thing he cancelled, he couldn't do any gigs at the weekend because this thing was taken up and so on. And then the dress rehearsal, then the musicians come in to play in the pit and the PA goes in and you get two rehearsals with the
band.
With the musicians,
yeah,
and you have—I mean,
it's
really
you have
deal,
to
even.
Wipe your diary
would
if you're doing anything. It's really hard work.
I wouldn't have time to do it.
It could be five. It could be 4 or 5 nights a week, getting ready, and late nights.
Yeah,
in an old cold hall, it can be. You'd want, like, but when you're in it, then and it's you might have to do five nights, seven nights of it.
Of the actual performance.
Yeah.
But sure, it could take 3 months before that.
Oh, yeah. But I think at the end, when you get to the end of it, you're on a high. There's a buzz.
Say this about the TYs in Middleton in St. Mary's. They put on a blinding show every year, and it's so professional.
It is, yeah.
I've seen a few of them, like my niece was in one there lately, and then my sisters would have been in them, like, but just the standard is so high in it. I was blown away every time I went, you know.
Not a bad old disco they have then at the end of it as well. They put on a disco up in the convent and all the old lads from the rest of the schools getting invited. It was a good night. It was at two of them.
Were you at two convent discos?
Yeah, last year and the year before.
Okie dokie.
When I was in, obviously, in third year and fourth year, I think, that was like, that show, even though it's just like a production in a school, people used to be asking, what show are they doing this year? Because, like, you know, parents used to be very, very proud and, you know, it was a big deal, like, you know. Mm. For them, like, it's great, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super.
I would kind of tell you that someone in there gives a shit, like, you know.
Exactly, you know?
Do you know the pub gigging?
Pub gigs.
Yeah, I think I talked about this before. But how, like, corrosive is it to creativity when you're trying to create something? You write a pile of songs, Dave, but do you think you write them with maybe a bit of a pub singing mentality? Not saying that your songs sound that way.
Oh, yeah.
I have that problem that I kind of tend to lean on things that I would be leaning on when I'm picking songs for the pubs. Like, geez, would that be a good enough course? Or would that be this? Or would this be that? Or does it kind of water down your creativity a bit? Like, I don't know. I feel it does mine a bit, and I just wanted to see if...
Well, that's how I started writing. Yeah. I was actually gigging a bit, and I was looking for songs maybe to kind of add to the set. I was kind of thinking, what kind of one do I want? Or do I need a poppy one? Do I need... And it just fucking dawned on me, write one.
Yeah.
I was kind of looking up, listening to stuff. And
but do you write that then to fit... like to suit a pub scenario, is it?
No, I was right. I can play all sorts of different chords. I can just come up with a kind of my own tune of sorts and try and hum along and see what happens. Like, that's how it started. Mm. But like, it was, I got to the stage where I was like, right, you know, the lyrics, I'd have to actually, I'd be singing them, I think they were fine. But then I'd read them and go, oh no, just that's shit. It just doesn't sit well with me if someone actually just read the lyrics without knowing the song. And that really helped improving choruses and lines and rhymes and stuff. For me, anyway. Because I wouldn't be happy reading it as a poem, let's say. It didn't sit right with me. And then I'd go, no, I need to change that line, I need to change this line.
How much do the words matter, though? Like, if you sat down and read the words of, I find the majority of classic songs that are regarded as great songs, and you just read the words having never heard the song, if you just sat down and read Bohemian Rhapsody, you'd be like, a load of fucking nonsense. Like, how they're delivered and they're phrased.
It's like the cadence, isn't that what they call it? I don't know. It's when you'll be putting a few chords together. The lyrics nearly come along with them. They nearly been between the notes.
Yeah.
And then they serve the music a bit, like, so like maybe a cut or a t, you know, you'd know nearly what kind of words you're going to put in it. And then you might have a topic. That's the way I do it anyway.
Yeah.
There might be a vague topic in or around that, but I know the words that are going to sound good just before this bit. Or
if someone gave you the lyrics and you started reading them and they said, well, I like it. Here we go, rocking all over the world.
They were never meant to be read.
Do you know who wrote that? The Fogarty Brothers from Creedence. Yeah. John Fogarty wrote that song. He's one of the greatest songwriters of all time, like.
Well, look, listen, that's fucking obvious. The the music came before the lyrics did.
But he wrote the lyrics, like,
jamming that.
He wrote the lyrics and the music to it, like.
Yeah,
it worked, and it, yeah, songs can be just fun too, like.
Fun, like, yeah.
How did the Chili Peppers give it away? Give it away? Give it away now?
Right,
that was the music was there beforehand. That really kind of buckle the bound, buckle the bound, buckle the bound.
Up in California, go to bone ya.
Every song.
Well, California.
I think you could write anything and then say it.
That's
about
what I'm
something.
Saying. Like, yeah,
you could fucking could apply make it up to any something. Shit, like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
Kirk Cobain said that, didn't he?
He said people were reading way too much into his lyrics.
And Dylan said it as well.
Yeah.
But can you imagine Kurt Cobain or Dylan setting up a set of 12-inch speakers on stands down the local pub to do a gig of covers for a pub crowd?
That's like, just the first. It's like what I said at the start. That's is it, I mean, just corrosive to originality? Is it just to be 100% original and honest? Is it just going to work against you to be at it?
I've never thought about it because I don't write songs. I find it interesting what you're saying, but I imagine you're probably right. It probably is, like, it's probably not doing you any service anyway.
I don't think it is, like, you're, I know there's a monetary gain and you might need to make a few bob, but
a lot of the musicians, original acts, you know, they probably wouldn't be able to do a gig in a pub like we
they
do.
Wouldn't, no.
Do you
no,
know they
wouldn't
be able to go in and play,
yeah,
20, 30 different songs from 20, 30 different,
yeah,
acts and entertain the crowd. It's a different animal, Mike. It's a different.
Yeah, they wouldn't have the.
I know.
They couldn't sit down and learn someone else's song. It's a.
I know.
Like, they would have an interest in it.
Start with a Christy Moore and go from that to fucking Adele. I've done it.
I'm sure you've done it too.
Like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous what we're expected to do, really.
What the pressures you put yourself under, like.
I know.
And then they look for Neil Diamond. And do you know any waltzes? Yeah, no, yeah, no bother.
You're a jukebox.
You're,
I know.
And then, mental, like, doing shit. Frank Sinatra and then doing Justin Timberlake.
I got from Joe Dolan to Travis.
Yeah.
To Nirvana to Christy Moore. It's fucking mad shit.
And the guys you're playing, I'd say, would rather eat a battery than go into a pub and play them their own.
Oh, they'd never, like. But I wonder then, because inadvertently, you're mimicking all these artists when you've got a wide palette of songs that you're doing. Can you 100% create your own personality, performer, voice if you're doing this? I don't know, like.
You probably have to stop, like.
Yeah.
Because you can't be.
Just jack it in, like, wouldn't you just go, okay, fuck it, this is. I'm getting too confused or something.
Yeah, like.
Well, if you, when you write your own stuff and you have your own, like, the people ask you, what kind of stuff? So what kind of stuff is it? What would you say it is? Your stuff.
My stuff?
Yeah.
Well, it has a folk element and a pop element and, oh, it's a marine pop folk.
Oh, it's cool. Marine pop folk. Yeah. I call mine kind of shed rock.
Shed rock.
It's not garage rock. Yeah. Shed rock. It's because we fucking put it together in a shed. Smoking fags and drinking tea.
There you go, that's what that is. So.
I know original musicians and songwriters who couldn't even go to a pub for 2 hours. They just couldn't
sit in
bear
a pub.
Being in a pub. Not to mind go and play for fucking 2 hours, like, you know. They just don't have the head for fucking socialising like that. Their heads aren't in the space for it. They're fucking being creative. They're in a different planet completely, like, you know. And, like, I know fellas who do covers, but they do blues and kind of niche-y stuff. And if you ask them to do a wedding, you couldn't offer them enough money in the world to do a wedding. They would turn it down if it was next one. They would say, no way. They just would hate it. It would just be a completely different creature.
Yeah, I know fellas I know a fella who has mad into gear, great guitar player, and has never played. Has never covered a song. Has never played along to any, just had learned the guitar, and he plays lead in original bands, not big original bands, but that plays original music and has never really played any one song or played along to anything or played in pubs or.
It's pocket lads. They're two different worlds. Like,
it's kind of these two things just run parallel and maybe never the twain will meet, kind of a thing. Or you can't jump from one world to the other.
I think so.
Properly.
Well, I think some fellas pick a lane and they stay in it, you know.
get to a point where you'll have to, like, you'll have to pick, like, which one am I going to do? Like,
I just think maybe it's pub gigging, like, you know, the Yorkie and the Kenrid Bulls, it'll fill you up for a moment, like, but do you know if you stick with the other thing, like, is there maybe...
It depends on who
will
you are.
Will you never answer the question, like, will you, if you have a kind of a question, God, could I have... Could I have maybe done something?
And does it happen in America, let's say? Do you know, like we say pubs in America, I've done all the bars and, you know, like Chris Stapleton. Hasn't he played in bars?
Yeah, but it's still a different creature here. There's nothing like the Irish pub music industry. It is a unique creature. Like, you know, a guy going into a pub with just a set of 12s and a guitar and a mixing desk and a microphone. Even in the dive bars in America, there are honky-tonks with stages and sound engineers and you can do originals in them. Like, you know?
You can, yeah.
But over here, you can't. This type of thing where you go in, I don't know what a fucking Christy Moore there. That doesn't fucking exist. That doesn't even exist in England, lads.
No, you know? this is a very unique
industry. In America, you find a lot of musicians come from the religious music scene, service, they play in the churches. But
they're fucking spoiled here.
The Irish music scene, when you get into it, start making a couple of chillaroonies, a few shillings. And you can't, you can do it independent on it. It's like, this is fucking great.
Soundbite. Straight into the microphone that way.
Do you know what I mean? You become dependent on it, I suppose. And it's like, Jesus, I'm making a few quid a week. No, doing these pub things. You know, I get to a stage where I ask myself, if I had pursued the other thing. They're different. They're two parts of music. But music is such a crazy wide spectrum that they might be closer than, you know, doing voice work on a fucking on a movie, or conducting, or composing, or it's all music. Mongolian throat singing, like these are all facets of music. The pub music thing and the original thing, they're nearly as far away from each other as, you know, theatre and an original thing. Like, and then when you go into the original stuff, you have the folk world, and you have the rock world. And you have, you know, instrumental jazz, they're completely different worlds within that world. So, in the comparison, they're two practices, but, like, it's like saying, if I continue swimming, will I ever be a fucking, you know, a footballer, like, you know, they're both sports. But that's where the similarities fucking end, like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's no one as celebrity.
But they're linked a bit, though. You have an ability. It's just what way you want to fucking shape it, though, isn't it? Like,
yeah. But people blur the lines and get confused between the two. When you're playing in a pub, you're to go in there and entertain the people in the pub. You are not a celebrity songwriter, you know, thing. It's go in and get your performance done and get paid and go home and pretty much give the people what they want.
But does that take a bit of you away? Like,
it does, yeah.
I felt depleted some nights, like I've given everything, like, and I got nothing out of it, really. Like, you know, I felt a bit fucking shitty in a way, because I remember before I ever started gigging, I used to be way more creative, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't have any other focus, like, so music to me was then, well, sure, we'd write a thing and I'd sing a bit of a thing and I might record a bit of a fucking stupid sound effect from outside and try and put it with this, and there was no other focus on it. Like, I don't know, I'm just repeating myself now, but
that's interesting. I find it very interesting, though.
Yeah, I just wonder, like,
I think you feel this way.
Oh yeah, that's why I'm bringing it up. That's why I'm bringing it up, like,
because you've pretty much packed in the pub stuff, like, haven't you?
I do a handful, but
do you find
them
corrosive?
They're fine.
Are they corrosive?
They're just fine. They're too sporadic, really, to be doing any harm. But yeah, different stage of my life too. Like, you know, I'm busy. Like,
that's the thing. Like,
do you have any book for any for an original?
Go back to the original stuff. Want to be fucking really. Sometimes I feel like I just join an original band that just the focus is on the creativity. And if I ever did a gig, wouldn't matter. And I don't care how popular the band would get. That's what I'd like. I'd like a creative space where I could play the bass creatively and write my own lines.
We do a bit of that here. Like,
we do a bit of it here. Yeah. But I mean, to actually join a band and
focus on it.
Sometimes I think that, and then sometimes I come across bands, cover bands, that give me a fucking boost for cover stuff. I came across a band in the UK Someone had mentioned him to me before, in fairness, at a gig. Gerald O'Donnell, a lad who comes to our gigs in Cork. He was at Ballyshannon Blues Festival, the Rory Gallagher Festival in Donegal. And he said, Zach Schulz, he mentioned, for our listeners now, check him out on TikTok or Insta or whatever. The Zach Schulz Gang is the name of his three-piece. Three-piece pub band now, right? Going into pubs, busy pubs. But that's it, like, set of 12s. Drummer, drums not mic'd. Bass player filling the rumble amp. And this guy out front, Zach Schulz, young lad, long hair. And fucking stuff, lads.
Just rock stuff.
Rock stuff, but I mean, they'll go from fucking... They'll go from Rory Gallagher to fucking Dire Straits. They're similar enough to us now, I think. That's the way I got to kind of go for it. And you could tell they had no interest in getting weddings now, this crowd. They had zero interest in getting this gig here or this gig. But they're growing in popularity all the time, like, because they're doing these blistering covers with high energy, and the guy Zach Schulz is playing it, you can tell they're invested in the songs, that they love them, like, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck it, maybe it's not original, maybe it's, but for some people it just scratches an itch to go out there and do stuff that you fucking love, like.
That's pretty very fulfilling, like, for
when I see that sort of thing, sometimes I think, for me, you know, at the moment in my life, I just want to go and fucking rock out fucking Pink Floyd songs and fucking, you know, stuff.
But that's good, because you know that, didn't you?
I know it, yeah.
But what if you have a yearning to write and perform original music, but you're kind of just putting a band-aid on it, but look, I'll fucking get to perform on it, or...
But you'd have to ask yourself then, are you doing the same, going out plumbing, like, because...
I'm very passionate about plumbing.
Yeah, in fairness, you are.
After the awards.
For the big fucker,
nice. You never gave a speech. Didn't do any speech.
Never meant a few words, really. Plumbing is my life.
But we were talking about tribute acts. Like, the Hollies are like a tribute act, only with you're mixing it up. Like, anything you do very, like the Pink Floyd stuff.
Fuck it, we don't do it. We don't do anything the same as the original, though. We don't really.
No, but you're really, you're fucking very close. Like, any of the Prince stuff is very well done. Pink Floyd, all the songs, like, there's nothing done. Like, you try to get there and you're putting your own little bits on it, like, but
yeah,
it's a mixed bag. It's very much, but it's all rock, you see. It's not, it's you're not doing a Christy Moore one in the middle.
Yeah,
like, so
yeah,
I think if you niche it up any small bit to what you love, I've said that before on the podcast, like, I think you
would you not then, I'm just throwing this out there now, if one Eno was kind of mad into writing their own stuff and it was a belter, a rock song, would you be happy to play it?
Not as the Hollies, like.
Yeah, okay.
Dan obviously he likes to, he's getting the urge small bit to do it, like, but it'd be blues songs, like, you know, bluesy pop kind of, like, you know, and he'd do it, but it would have to be Dan Murphy, you know, the project would be Dan Murphy, like. That's the way I'd advise it anyway, like, you know, play it, like, but when you've got,
I wouldn't
jeopardise what we have now, as we're just a Cork-based cover band doing pubs. I wouldn't jeopardise it because it's so fulfilling for me. I wouldn't jeopardise it by shaking the apple cart too much and going down a different avenue, because I still love every minute of every gig, like, you know, every fucking minute of it. I'm fucking bursting for the weekend now already. You know,
well, there you go. Yeah,
you all still feel the same. Like,
we think we don't until we're getting in the van, and you're going to fuck it, right? You know,
yeah.
The other fella wouldn't drive from Wexford to do it, stay the whole weekend down here.
Exactly, yeah.
Unless you fucking like
loved it.
Any member of that band, the two boys, if they wanted to get a musical job, playing with a top fucking wedding band, taking home fucking ridiculous money 5 nights a week, they could. They could do that.
Easily.
But we'd do it for less money doing what we like doing. What we all like and love is rock music, so why not, you know?
Why not is right, yeah.
I always say, take what you want from it.
And
I think you're right as well. If you are a songwriting type, it's probably because it's good to do a little bit. I have one more topic, and it's about original acts and songwriters who write songs that then define them and they become their big hit. And I'm talking now because I, as you know, I'm booking radio acts for a station here in Cork. And this Friday, I've a number of acts on. When I book an act to go in and play on the radio, it's always said, and what songs are they doing? And what song? What's the title of the song? But this Friday, there's two acts in.
I nearly know already.
Well-known Donegal-based Eurovision entry from years ago.
And another Cork-based band who are stewarding the parade this year. The Grand Marshals Parade. The Frank and Walters. So, he joined the Frank and Walters. Both of them mentioned something similar to me. I said, this is a stage now where I ask you,
what song we're going to do? Because the radio is... They don't want anything else. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't want them. Yeah. Like, with the two left, it's like, what song are you going to do? Oh, one of them said to me, well, what? Will they let me play anything else? No, probably not. Like, isn't that awful? Because there's better songs. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the way that world works is like, we want the hit. We want the impact. We want the listeners. Do that one.
It's for the radio. It's not for them.
It's for the people at home. Yeah.
Well, it's to promote the radio station then.
It would just be a bit of a kick in the teeth if you were like pouring your heart into all these songs and you had this slot then and you know, you're in there with these other musicians and it's like, no, and you go there and do that fucking song you wrote 25 years ago or 30 years ago, like, you know.
I suppose it's a double-edged sword because you should be damn glad to have had it. Yeah. It's not afforded to many to have a hit.
No, it's like
they're big hits.
They're hits, like, yeah.
In this country, but would they rather be without them? Or would they rather just have a more of a broad a body of work?
Well, they have a...
That is recognised, like...
Yeah.
Commercially.
But how do you get your new stuff recognised? Like, have you been to a Monday gig that's at a festival or anything? I actually saw a video of him snapping recently and gone... I play it at the end, like, will you stop shouting July? Stop shouting at me to play fucking July. I am going to play it at the end of the set and just...
Go away, girl.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's the other one. It's like, it would be kind of disheartening, wouldn't it? Like, your continued writing.
I suppose it's just the look of the draw, like, is it?
Is there a stage where you'd say, I'm putting that song to bed, no? I'm not going to do that again.
You could know? Become quite lonely.
Didn't Radiohead do it with Creep? It got too popular for them.
Well, could they get away with it?
Yeah. I mean, that's just one of the songs. Yeah, they have quite a catalogue, don't they?
But they stopped doing that one. They put it to bed. Because for that reason.
They're Radiohead, though. I think they could afford to do it.
They can do it.
I'm not talking down to any of these lads, like, but they need to be gigging and making money. The other boys that you're talking about, like, you know.
I just found it interesting. If it's a new act... An unheard of act, they can play whatever they want. But if you've gone out there and you've earned your salt and you've gotten any bit of popularity at all, you have to play the one.
Well, is it a matter of just standing your ground and saying, right, we'll do the hit, but we've another one as well we want to.
That's what happened. That's what came from it then.
Okay.
What, they did another one?
I gave them the option, like, I went to the station and I said, look, can we do
two,
like, yeah.
If they have one, like, and they're confident that it's good, like,
yeah,
let's do it. Like, this is your chance, like, or a chance.
I kind of don't know. I don't know how the music industry works anymore. I thought it was quite simple before.
I just found it interesting, like, you know,
tiring for the bands.
Disheartening, like,
just tiring, exhausting.
Yeah,
I just think keep thinking is it.
But when that's
Ralph McTell, is it?
Yeah.
What's that?
Streets of London. Yeah.
The poor man must be fucking mitred from singing that.
Yeah. You'll be blue in the face from it, like, especially if you have other brilliant songs like the Frankie Waters do and Mickey Jones. Yeah. Like, it's like,
you know,
Frankie Waters have some marvellous stuff. Like, who do I know from the thing off the telly? For the gang.
Sure, I suppose.
Well,
yeah.
Who are they, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. After all that, but like, at the time when they wrote that first, they'd have been fucking thrilled to play it.
Yeah.
And they'd have been played it twice and three times, you know.
So, like you said, you're lucky to have it. But
I think they might be lucky to have it. I think on the balance of things, they'd probably take it rather than... I know there's a third option of having loads of songs that people would request.
Yeah.
But in all likelihood, most gang have one big one, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Like, but then again, I find that it's the kind of not so much fans are looking for the hit. Whereas if you went to one of their gigs, you'd find this pocket real fans, and they're like, oh, I can't wait to, oh, I loved it that they played all of them. They're fucking brilliant. They're the fans. You know, they're the guys buying your album and supporting you. It's the great masses of people want to hit, like, you know.
So what band would you go and see and you'd say, any song? Play me any fucking song?
Metallica. Any fucking song they want.
Okay. Mike?
Pearl Jam, I'd say. I don't,
Bruce Springsteen upsets a few people sometimes.
Yeah,
too. You can have nearly 45 minutes of a set and be an old cover on the one, the B-side.
The old Seeger
stuff. Well, I thought the Seeger stuff was class.
I love that stuff.
But he advertised that as a Seeger tribute. Like, you knew you weren't going to get fucking born in the USA at that. Like.
Yeah.
But I'm on about his, you know, these big fucking gigs in the stadiums that are fucking 3 hours long or whatever. Like, it could be a good hour of that now of stuff that...
Now you get down and fucking... You get the Hollies.
He didn't do the glory, days. Yeah. And he didn't do Born in the USA, but he did a Chuck Berry cover from 1962. That, you know, like, fair play to him, you know. But,
and people are bringing signs now, requesting songs and he's taking them and he's doing them. Good. You do them on the fly, like,
And he's turning around to the boys and he's going...
He directs it,
like. Key there, and he's doing the musical director on the E Street band, and it's like, they can just play it off the cuff.
But it's to watch.
There's
that.
A fucking E Street band. They want to be able to fucking play fucking gluffers, like.
But to watch that happen is something is special.
Massive, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see him doing the Chuck Berry one?
Yeah.
That's a great video. I advise people to go and look it up, or someone has a sign up saying... C'est la vie by Chuck Berry. And he turns around to that and he goes,
cool.
Ba, 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 ba. And he's given the band the chance to get the horns parts.
Can you do it?
The size of the fucking stage and up there trying to
jam
this out.
And they drive
the crowd. Yeah. Yes. Something else.
Some fucking players.
Good game, they're the East Street.
We'll be right back. This is what you get. This is what you get when you mess it up. Karma police, I've given all I can, it's not enough. I've given all I can, but we're still on the payroll. This is what you get. This is what you get. This is what you get when you mess it up.
Recording and you finish a song and you're waiting for him to say, yeah, that sounds good. Or
I haven't spent much time in
after the second chorus there, will I drop you in there again? Did I do what's wrong today? Well done, Dahi, that sounds good, lad. Great man for that.
How was that take? It would be fine live.
Yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah.
It would be alive, yeah.
It'd be fine live. It'd be fine live.
You'd never get a request for that, like, would you?
What you did was good, but we'll do it again.
Yeah, just tidy it up a bit.
I don't know if I'll reach that.
I don't even know what song he's doing yet.
The wizard. It wears around. It wears around. Wears around. With a broken man, a crackpot, a styrene man who just crumbles and burns. wears him out. It wears him out. Wears him out. She looks like the real thing. She tastes like the
done one before and we never left it in. I think it was on the first or second podcast, right?
Maybe
not that one, another one that I've thought of, right? We did your version of Last Kiss, your version of the Pearl Jam version of the 60s song Last Kiss.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
it's an acoustic Pearl Jam song. It was a cover of a cover of a cover.
Did we?
But we left it out, we got edited out.
Oh,
Mr. McCutty McCutsville cut it from the take.
That was none
taken.
It was probably shite, but will we give it another go now?
If you like it.
Yeah, here, do you want this, Jock?
I'd be like, yeah.
This is a four
card. Be nice on this, too.
Four card trickery.
Four carder. Elvis became a truck driver.
Gotta be good so I can leave my baby when I leave this world. We were out on a date in my daddy's car. We hadn't driven very far. In the road, straight ahead, a car was stalled, the engine was dead, and I couldn't swerve. Forget the noise at night
in screeching times. I must confess, the fitful screams that I heard less. Oh, where, oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's got to heaven, so I've got to be good, so I can see my baby when I leave. I woke up, the rain was pouring down. There were people standing all around. Something warm flowing through my eyes. Never forget the sound that night. I lifted her head, she looked at me and said, "Hold me, darling, a little while." I held her close, and our last kiss. She's gone, even though I hold her tight. I lost my love and my life that night. Oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I've gotta be good, so I can see my baby when I'm leaving.
Thanks for listening and tuning in thanks. Every week, and for Mikey for letting us down and to Knockadoon and making a state of his room and throwing phones across the floor and making tea.
Spilling his fucking CSP folder all over all the floor. The just
all part of it, lads.
And thanks for tuning in. Yeah.
Like I said, lads, we've come back after a long break. Get in touch with us. Tell us what you want to hear. If you're listening, tell us where you're listening from. If you have an opinion on anything we said, get in touch with us through the Facebook page, through the Instagram. I'd imagine that most of you listening probably have one of our numbers.
Oh, yeah. It's yeah, like a TY business.
If you have a complaint about something we say, write it down on a bit of paper, put it in an envelope, fold it up really tight. That's it for us tonight.
I'll see you next week.
Hey there, thanks for tuning in to this episode of It's All Music Podcast with Kerry, Henny and Quirky. Produced by me, Dave Quirk. Executive produced by me, Dave Quirk. Theme music by me, Dave Quirk. Incidental music by me, Dave Quirk. Talent booking by Owen Hennessy. Tea making and venue setup, Mike Carey. Yep, we're doing all this ourselves. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for us? Email us at itsallmusicpodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to It's All Music Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This has been a Dave Quirk production in association with Acast.
Hey there, and thanks for listening to the It's All Music Podcast with Kerry, Henny and Quirky. We're blown away by your support. The It's All Music Podcast is a completely independent self-finance venture. If you enjoy what we're doing and you enjoy listening, you can support us by heading over to our Patreon page and subscribing for €3 a month. If you don't have €3 a month, don't stress. You can still listen to the podcast. And you can support us by sharing our content on your social media pages.